This is the Brian Suits Show.
Who was that idiot quarterback who said that? He was a red. He was a Washington football team guy at the time.
He's Rich Clint.
Whoever you are, you think I am or whatever.
Oh, he was actually a bowler who bowled like three strikes in a row in a big tournament,
right.
And no one could decipher what he was trying to say.
When are we on? AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. The biggest local news story affecting a epidemic around Western Washington that you haven't heard about. Right of this, it's AM 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with our right-way traffic. And then Beto called him an MF-er. So that makes Beto O'Rourke really cool. He should be a governor or something. Some politicians just should grow up. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and I'm seeing more of it on cable news because a pro-Trump MAGA guy in Texas laughed at something that was laughable that Beto O'Rourke did yesterday, and so Beto swore at him. But I'll play this and get out of it and move on to the most important story that you haven't heard that affects all of us here in Western Washington. But the horrific shooting in Texas now 2 months ago, 3 months ago. And so Beto is talking to it's some small town. He's running for governor against Greg Abbott. And of course, he has his, sleeves rolled up, dress shirt, no tie. And because he's so relatable, he's so vigorous and young and energetic. By the way, he married an immensely rich woman. And it's not like he grew up, scraping his plate with a crust of bread either. So just know that about this guy and his street cred. Anyway, he's describing the AR-15, the purchase of the AR-15, and that he has to drill down on this fine point that it's a weapon of war and it was designed, I'll let him say it. But the physicality of it, if you watch the video, he's mimicking holding a rifle. And then when he describes what the AR-15 was intended to do on the battlefields of Vietnam, he drops forward to one knee, like he's signaling a first down and launching Maverick off an aircraft carrier. And I mean, it's laughable. I mean, when I saw the video, I laughed at the same moment. But and that's not what this is. Beto shut down a MAGA heckler.
Legally purchased by an 18-year-old who did not try to obtain one when he was 16 or 17, but followed the law that's on the books, ladies and gentlemen, that says that you can buy not one, you can buy two or more if you want to, AR-15s, hundreds of rounds of ammunition, and take that weapon that was originally designed for use on the battlefields in Vietnam to penetrate an enemy soldier's helmet at 500 feet and knock him down dead, up against kids at 5 feet. It may be funny to you, but it's not funny to me, okay?
What is funny about the video is that there's people laughing at him before he says that to the MAGA guy. There's people that then cheer that he dropped an MF bomb in front of a bunch of old people who, by the way, aren't wooting and hollering about this. So it's viral all over the Twitter and the whole thing, and it's fairly laughable.
You and I are both fans of stand-up comedians, and
if it's funny, I go like this.
I love and have a lot of respect for people like Jerry Seinfeld, Jim Gaffigan, Nate Bargatze, because they don't do a lot of swearing in their act. And you know why they don't? Because the purest form of comedy is, can you get a laugh without dropping an F-bomb?
Without going blue.
And so politicians are utilizing the same thing now, which is the easiest applause line in the book is to curse, and then you get... It's the cheapest,
Beatles.
Most obnoxious political device.
Look at that.
In the playbook.
He slapped Chris Rock. Oh, wait, that's bad. Sorry. It is. And that's the reason. That's why. Who's that Mulvaney, that stand-up comic? Who's
Nick Mulvaney.
He's hilarious, and he doesn't work blue. That's why it was kind of crazy to find out what a bad, offstage life the guy had. Meanwhile, there's another comic. There's a woman named Nikki Glaser,
Yeah, I know her.
Who's very funny. And someone said, oh, you've got to see her new special. She goes there within 5 minutes of a 59-minute special. And I mean, I mean, you see, it's really funny because she's beautiful and blonde. So that's what makes it funny. I mean, she's being rewarded for that juxtaposition.
Oh, right,
because,
right.
Believe me, I get like 20 minutes into it, but there's nowhere to go. After you go there and then you start describing bits of your body, whether man or woman, it's like,
wow, she's
come
so
back.
Pretty and yet so crass.
Oh, my
Look,
golly.
Imagine that.
And believe me, I can tell you, you know, there's sometimes that I'll tell the KTT audience, put the kids to bed, watch this. It's really funny. Don't give Netflix the time of day about that Nikki Glaser special. And what's funny about her is that she doesn't need to do that. She's funny. Does she go there?
Beto didn't need to call this guy an MF-er. And to be consistent, I don't like it when people on the right do this. I don't like it when people on the left do it. Maybe I'm old school, but clean your mouth out, okay?
Yeah, you know, and like I say, don't sit there mimicking. Don't make it performative theater. Your passionate dislike of the AR-15.
500 feet and knock him down dead. Up against kids at 5 feet. It may be funny to you, but it's not funny to me. Okay?
It's not what he was laughing at. So anyway, okay. King County calls it an epidemic. I'm sorry, a public health crisis because it is. Fentanyl, in spite of Narcan all over the place, people are still finding a way of dying from fentanyl at a higher rate this time to date over last year. Same with Pierce County. Every county in the state of Washington has more people dying from fentanyl because it's more poisonous. The Chinese make it. And, you know, there were two opium wars in the 19th century when the British were importing opium to the Chinese. The Chinese went to war. They went to war twice over the importation of opium to their country. So fast forward 2022, Chinese factories are making precursors and components to fentanyl or flat out fentanyl. They're sending it to Central America and Mexico and the back door in Canada, America's gigantic back door. And that's how it's being distributed around here. So the biggest local story that I got to tell you, I watch local news. What are you doing at 5 p.m. when you're not coaching your kids into the Major League Hall of Fame? What are you doing at 5?
Getting ready for dinner. Was that the right answer?
Great job, producer 101. No, I'm scanning 13, 7, 5, 4.
Oh, yeah. I'm constantly working.
Today days old when I found out that one of the most virulent fentanyl distribution cartels, because I was wondering, they're tearing up Mexico right now. And I'm wondering, well, what led to that? There's these guys called the CJNG, the Ciudad Jalisco Nueva Generación, the City of Jalisco New Generation. They're a branch of the Zetas. If you've heard of the Zetas, what are the Zetas? The Zetas were formed by Mexican military veterans, guys with proficiency in small arms, to distribute and enforce for other cartels. And they figured, why are we the middlemen? Why aren't we the distributors? So they're tearing up Jalisco and other towns. They're burning out 7-Elevens, other places. Well, one of their top leaders did a plea deal in federal prison. He admitted he led a transnational drug trafficking organization, that he was a member of the CJNG. He agreed to 11 years because they agreed not to put 25 years on the table. The prosecutors agreed to recommend no more than 11 years for Luis Arturo Magaña Ramirez, a 34-year-old member of the Zetas or the Ciudad, the City of Jalisco New Generation. Resident of Fife, Washington. Now, granted, the DEA doesn't do a really good job of reaching out to local news. If the DEA has an office that has Q13's You know, news editor's number or Como or Kyra 7 or King or whatever, they don't use it. But this is a gigantic federal deal. This is kind of the weird issue. If Seattle busted this guy, it would lead the news. If King County busted this guy, it would lead the news. But the federal government did it. And they, you know, institutionally, they do business fairly quietly. And this is... You know, example A, this the closest to this guy's equivalent and others that were arrested in a federal sting, in a federal move here. You have to go all the way down to Southern California to find a guy of equal rank than these guys. And so anyway, like I say, the most important story you haven't heard is this plea deal that they were arrested and that they got him to plead out guilty pleas, and also what the feds can do and what that means. Right after this, AM 770 KTTH. Let's get you to work with our right way traffic. Gets better. Hey, I'm 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. And I mean, I federally, I don't know where fentanyl is on the schedule. Yeah, because if it is defined as the same category, whatever it is, Schedule 1 as heroin, I think what needs to be updated is it's basically rat poison now. And the overdoses were not at this rate 4 years ago, 5 years ago, et cetera. But anyway, in federal court, a very high-level cartel fentanyl heroin importer pled guilty to a couple different things, and his lieutenant. So Luis Arturo Magana Ramirez, the 34-year-old transnational drug trafficker of Fife, he got his time. His assistant, Jorge Mondragon, a 26-year-old Kent man, also faces a mandatory minimum 10 years in prison due to the amount of heroin and methamphetamine trafficked as part of the organization. I would say, you know, importing this poison fentanyl made in China, it should be treated like it's uranium or something. So if it seems to you that there is a greater uptick in stolen gun violence and drug violence. Remember, these guys were arrested in 2020, quietly arrested in 2020. It gets better. When he was arrested, when Magana Ramirez, the head guy, was arrested on July 28th, 2020, he possessed two firearms. One of them had been reported stolen, and the other had an obliterated serial number. Magana Ramirez could not legally possess firearms, as he is a Mexican national who is illegally present in the United States. Possession of firearms by an illegal alien is punishable by up to 10 years in prison, all on its own. In all, this drug ring was responsible for bringing more than 120 pounds that they know of meth, as well as fentanyl pills and cocaine. And again, this guy's been in custody since July of 2020. He just pled guilty. It took 2 years to adjudicate this. He and his lieutenant took their pleas, and so they cut down the weapon illegally possessed, you know, and all this. But the homicide rate and the fentanyl death rate is probably doubled by 2020, I mean, 2 years later. So clearly they must have a chain of command. And that the operations guy became the executive officer, and then the other guy became the CEO. But or it could be this. It could be that fentanyl is so addictive and so deadly that when one head is chopped off of a drug cartel, another takes its place. So there's that. The only silver lining to this, the thing I'm annoyed by, is you would. If you covered this story, and here's why I'm annoyed by it, because I know what the Seattle media market news editor is like in radio and TV, and there's a bunch of problematic things in this federal release. This is from This is from the U.S. Attorney's Western District of Washington, and this came out about 10 days ago. And that's why it promptly went to the – first of all, like I say, part of the blame has to go on the U.S. Attorneys and the DEA and all this for not getting this information more out to either newspapers, which no one reads anymore, or TV and all this. But even if this made it to the desk of the day shift news editor at that one place or that other place, the story stops at that part that, they had illegally possessed firearms. So they ignored the background checks. Yeah, they did that. So they had stolen firearms. But why was it double dog illegal? Well, because they're illegal aliens. So it would not make it to the top of the news litter. It would be at the last. It would be like right after the panda birthday or something. So it's out. It's nuts. You know, you wonder what's you wonder about the ecosystem of fighting drugs. OK, so King County Council can say it's a public health emergency. OK, aren't illegal aliens with stolen guns a public health emergency? Because how does it get here? Do the fentanyl pills swim from Guangdong province? Do they swim in from Vancouver? And no, they don't, as it turns out. But anyway, I'll take my little frustrations and I'll put them in a ball over here. Here, there you go, little frustrations. I need a little cannon here that says Brian's little frustrations. Anyway, like I say, this is all on my radar because I was seeing these reports that Mexican soldiers and they can't. By the way, their army is so penetrated by guys that want to check the box on their resume so they can get out and work for the Zetas, that they have to trust the higher paid, more professional Mexican Marines. It's a different force. It's a smaller outfit, but that's who does all the drug raids in Mexico, are the Mexican Marines. In the United States, the federal military can't do drug raids. In Mexico, they sure as hell can. And half of the people they arrest are already currently serving in the Mexican army, in Ejército de México. And so you see these, you know, burned out vehicles. They're putting roadblocks in streets right now, and they have actual assault rifles. You know, the ones that go pew, 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 a bunch in a row, fully automatic, not pew, 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 pew. They're outgunning the Mexican military on the streets. And part of it is that the federal government here in this country is doing a slightly better job of chasing these particular guys down. But you heard the one guy lived in Fife, the other guy lived in Kent, where they're distributing fentanyl to, name Kent Meridian High School. I don't know, Curtis, you know, Wilson, whatever. Any teenager that ODs this fall is ODing on Chinese fentanyl, brought in from Vancouver, distributed by cartels. That's their ecosystem. Our ecosystem is supposed to be stop it from coming in federally, statally, countily, and citially, publicize all this stuff, coordinate it together, including the information war on this. And then maybe our side, the side of people that don't want their kids ODing and what maybe they thought was a Percocet, but oops, turns out not to be, which is what I call my side. I know it's a long acronym, but I'll work it out with pencil during the break. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check your text, 800-465-8770, 800-465-8770. Whatever your thoughts are, we'll read them unfiltered, unless you do a Beto. Back in a second. Let's get you to work with the right way traffic. AM 770 KTKH, Brian Suits here. I heard this. I didn't record it. Now I can't find it. Former ambassador to the UN, the national security advisor, John Bolton, gave CNN the time of day yesterday because the FBI and Department of Justice announcing that this Iranian IRGC terrorist Quds Force guy has been online trying to solicit the assassination of John Bolton and former Secretary of State and CIA Director Mike Pompeo. And for Pompeo, it's $1 million on his head, which is pretty honorable. And that's why I was thinking with Bolton, wouldn't you feel kind of peaked, a little PO'd that it's only $300,000? And he said that on CNN yesterday, but I can't find it.
I do have a clip from CNN. I don't know if it's the one you're looking for, but do you want me to fire it?
Does he say I'm embarrassed?
What goes through your mind, Ambassador, hearing the details of this plot as explained today in great detail by the U.S. Justice Department?
Well, I was embarrassed at the low price. I would have thought it would have been higher, but, you know, I guess maybe it was the exchange rate problem or something. I read the document with great interest. I had not seen it before. I was not aware of many of the specifics in it, although obviously I'd long had a general understanding of what the threat was.
So the Iranians clearly, they understand Qasem Soleimani wasn't the head of state, nor was he, as he was incorrectly labeled by Joe Scarborough on MSNBC, he was not the basically vice president of Iran. In fact, he had as many people who popped champagne corks when he was croaked. In his own government, there was as many people in the Iranian government just as happy to be have this guy kicked to the side by many, many cuts from a Hellfire kinetic kill missile. And that wasn't so you understand that's why they're going after Pompeo and not Trump or Bolton and not Pence, because Pompeo was director of the CIA, you know, building this up. And Bolton was also a guy very, you know, when we walked away from that disastrous nuclear deal, it was Bolton and Pompeo that were giving flesh to that particular thing. And the disaster hasn't even happened yet, but it was disastrous. And now we have a regime, we have an administration trying to bring it back. So anyway, time to check your text. I took the unusual step of pre-logging on and reading a few.
That is unusual.
Average American needs to realize how cheap this product is. We were talking about fentanyl and local Zetas guys finally getting their sentences and pleas. And average American needs to realize how cheap this product is out there that they're putting everywhere, getting everybody addicted. And I've seen it firsthand. It's happening to lower class, middle class, and upper class, says 360 Ericut. By O, I mean zero.
From the 360, we were talking about GOP representatives that will not be returning to Congress, primarily those who voted to impeach Donald Trump. This, of course, lit up the text line over things you and I were saying to each other. From the 360, I don't think Greg understands. It's not the man. It's what Trump stands for, the people. I disagree. I think he stands for himself. But from the 425, hi, guys. Great show. The Democrats need Trump to run, as he's the only person on the planet who could lose to Joe Biden again. From the 714, B&G, I used to like what Greg had to say and always support the more moderate Republicans. My thinking has changed in the last 10 years, however. The radical left is taking a sledgehammer to Western civilization, freedom of thought. Two sexes, capitalism, science over narrative is all under threat, so we can't afford people like Cheney being a small tool in the arsenal of the left.
I know exactly what he's talking about, and it's driving a lot of my decisions too, and it really, a lot of it is pushback to some of the craziness that currently is in authority. And when it's not, it's calling us names and all that. And by the way, just remember, everybody, the highest ratings in CNN's history, higher than the first night of the first Gulf War, highest ratings in their history was January 6, 2020. Don't think for a second that they don't secretly want this back. They do. How come you get to read four in a row?
Do you have one? Go for it.
Ray says, I can tell you from personal experience, this is dealing with tonight. There's two different trucks crashing around 2 a.m., 3 a.m. overnight, police pursuits, two different giant trucks. The one that ended in Walling, in somebody's business in Wallingford, was a big, looked like a big GMC 3500 work truck. I can tell you from personal experience, dealing with the aftermath of the act, that tweakers love to steal large pickups, especially Ford F-350s. I was told it's because they're easy to steal. All you need is a screwdriver. I'd rather want a little more than a screwdriver between me and finding my car gone.
And as we wrap up this Check the Text segment, Brian, I do want to give a shout out to your listeners because we had rather thoughtful texts today, and we have regularly thoughtful texts throughout the week. And look, I've been doing this game for a long time. I've been talk radio for 15, 16 years. And occasionally, if you say something that ticks off the listeners or people that would normally agree with you, you get fire and brimstone on the text line. I got a lot of thoughtful disagreements pointed my way that were less like name calling and pejoratives and more, hey, Greg, disagree with you, but think about it this way. And, of course, I'm talking about the discussion slash debate you and I had earlier about the future of the GOP. But I think that's a breath of fresh air to have stimulating back and forth and critical thinking going on. So my two cents.
Yeah, and I mean, and I know we're running late, but Rob in the 425 says this is going back to something you said last hour. Well said, Greg. I think Trump is a millstone around the party's neck. He gave away his reelection with a ridiculous debate performance against Grandpa and urinated on the state of Georgia as he gave away two Senate seats. He can't deny that.
But hey,
I thought Obama had a thin skin, but Trump makes him look like an armadillo. Ron DeSantis would shred Grandpa Joe in a debate. Rob in the 425.
If one conservative senator would have been victorious in Georgia, we would not have the Inflation Reduction Act right now.
No.
Just saying.
No. And the stupid CHIPS Act, which is a wealth transfer thing, and which is also the, quote, Inflation Reduction Act. Yeah, either one. And said it went, Georgia goes two liberal senators. So back in a second, we'll wrap up. We'll finish very, very meaty. Very robust finish when we come back, and with tones of fruit and tannins. It's AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. Let's get you to work one last time with our right way traffic. Said yesterday, AM 770 KTTH, Brian sits here with producer Greg one last time. When the president was signing the PACT Act, the basically effectively lowering the bar for accepting a whole bunch of things as they must be related to burn pits in Iraq or Afghanistan or other burn pity conflicts, the president again tied more directly than I've ever heard him do. He tied his son's brain cancer death in 2014 to his service in Iraq. His son was an Army lawyer, Delaware Army National Guard. He was the Attorney General of Delaware at the time, and he was a JAG, an Army lawyer in the Green Zone. And he never left. And, I mean, there may be a link. I don't know. It's just that I know a bunch of people that were there for 18 months and for much of it guarding uranium oxide, yellow cake. And the other thing is, by the way, this is the VA trying not to break the bank. Until now, they're going to get this blank check. But there's not a higher cancer rate or mesothelioma or whatever. There's not a higher rate amongst people who served in Iraq or in Afghanistan than there is in the general population. And that might be a function of that younger people don't get it. You know, the cohort of people who deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan are between 18 and, you know, 34 or whatever. So that might be part of it. But the fact is there's not like some bump. But he did. MSNBC covered a little bit of it this morning.
30 years. It is expected to extend eligibility for medical care to roughly 3.5 million veterans. The bill also addresses an issue that is personal for the president, who says he believes there may have been a connection between the brain cancer that killed his son, Beau, and the burn pits he was exposed to during his military service.
And he that's what he believes. There may be, you know what, there may not be. So there is that. But a very stretched thin VA system is now going to get a whole bunch of money because a bunch of people now because they've lowered the bar for why, you know, this or that is there. I mean, I lost a fraternity brother who'd never smoked to lung cancer. He never smoked, but he died of lung cancer. And it was at stage four when it was diagnosed. Meanwhile, my dad gets free cigarettes in the Navy in 1943 when he's 16, smokes two packs a day as an air traffic controller and doesn't until 3 days before he died. He died in his low 90s and of nothing having to do in any way, shape or form of smoking. So you can't diagnose my friend as, well, lung cancer because you are a Lake Washington kangaroo, you know, or something like that. Like I say, I'm sort of treading on tender territory. There's a lot of people who are nodding up and down, but then there's way more going, I can't believe he's saying that about our America's heroes and the whole thing. So anyway, I've got, if people don't know, there's a backstage laminate of the VA. And there's two backstage laminates where you get to the head of the line for any treatment whatsoever. I happen to have one of those backstage laminates. There's two. There's former prisoner of war. Sucks to be that guy, but former prisoner of war. And then there's Purple Heart because there's no debate. They don't ask you, wait a minute, there was no combat in Greenland. You know, if you have a Purple Heart, it's for wounds received in combat. Which is ultimately the reason the VA was established after the Civil War. So, but like I say, I'm just a little frustrated because there's this sort of whole cloth sort of, well, but they're a veteran and they're complaining. And so shut me up anytime, Greg.
I'm just letting you go.
Before I dig.
Fire at will.
A deeper hole.
You want to go to the audio vault from today's clips?
Oh, I want to. Yeah, Tim Scott.
Tim Scott, yeah, he was interviewed by CNN. He's on a big book tour right now. He's being asked a lot about the FBI executed warrant at Mar-a-Lago. But he was also asked about the Inflation Reduction Act last night on CNN.
It's already working.
In fact, if you want the IRS coming to focus on small business owners, according to the CBO, 90% of the revenue generated by the new IRS agents, 87,000 of them, will be focused on people making $200,000 or less. Let's not pretend that this is something that it's not. What President Biden and the Democrats said this bill would do is focus on millionaires and billionaires. That is patently false.
Yeah, you see, he didn't say how he was going to reduce inflation. By taking people's money, it's going to reduce demand. If you don't have money to spend on stuff and junk, then you're not going to spend it. Demand is down. Boom. QED. And the proof is in the vice president's pudding, by the way, because as we learned yesterday, a day after the Inflation Reduction Act was signed, inflation was reduced.
The president and my vision for the future also means lowering costs for Americans. Today we learned that last month our economy had 0% inflation.
That's awesome. 0%. And you know, and if anyone can figure out how they're doing that accounting trick, I explained it yesterday before she said that or any of this. It's because the price of gas went down by a dollar in a month because inventory's up and demand is that people are adjusting their driving. So the price of gas went down by 20% in 1 month. And so one big part of the inflation measurement went down by 20%. Of course, that affected eggs, bacon, cheese, clothing, shoes, pants. Crucial luxury items like shoes and pants and bacon. And all that. So
lots of people are adjusting their spending habits based on record inflation. What I've been finding in terms of what I do is I was at the grocery store yesterday, little QFC by my house.
Barefoot? Because I chose bacon over shoes.
No, I had shorts and shoes and a collared shirt. It was a weird outfit combo. I hope nobody I knew was there watching me from afar. But I go down the chip aisle, right? Love the chippies. I'm a big sucker these days for those deals where it's like if you buy one bag of chips, it's $6 because of inflation. But if you buy four bags, it's like $8.
Yeah.
What is that about? How do the numbers pan out there? And two, that's why I have like 9 bags of chips in my garage right now because of those deals.
You know how I adjusted my shopping the other day? You know those short sleeve button down shirts that I wear? By shirts, I mean that one that I wear that's with the lime green stripes. I want more of those, and I know where to get them. I went there day before yesterday, place in Olympia, this one place. I'm walking. I can throw a baseball and hit the store. There's a guy with a giant flat wooden box. It's a 58-inch OLED TV. He will sell it to me for $50. And my Spidey sense said, that might be receiving stolen goods. That would require police actually watching that sort of thing. I turned around, got back in my automobile, went down to a house in Olympia that serves oysters and ordered four of them on Amazon. I probably would have bought other stuff in that store. But if that store can't do anything about his parking lot and the city in that runs that town won't do anything, something that blatant. So that's another way to fight inflation, is to take our money away through higher taxes, and then don't prosecute basic shoplifters and in places where you expect to be confronted with civil society. This is genius. This is, no one ever taught this in Econ 101. All right, thanks, producer Greg. Pretty darn good practice Friday. We'll implement the real game plan tomorrow and be back here at 6 a.m. Dan Bongino is up next. We'll talk about the Freedom Series as far as we can. We have that coming up. Jason Rentz announced that yesterday, and we'll talk more about that tomorrow, how you can participate. AM 770 KTTH, let's get you to work with our right-way traffic.